So here's the invitation. You're invited to jump in with your whole heart at your own pace and to experience the life that awaits you in Christ. Friends, this is going to be good. Welcome to our church.
You are worthy to be praised. Amen. Well, happy Easter. He is risen. Amen. Is that not the best news you've heard? He is risen. Come on, church. He is risen. Woo! You guys stand with us as we give our praise and honor to the one who conquered the grave. First Baptist Church on Easter Sunday. We are so glad you are here. On behalf of the staff and Pastor Steve, I just want to welcome you. If you will take out your bulletin and look in the insert, there is a card in there. And we'd love for you to fill the bottom of that out. It just has your name and address and things to make sure that we have your information right in the bulletin, in the computer. But we'd love to just be able to touch base with you guys, especially if you're a first-time guest, just so we can give you guys a phone call and welcome you personally to our church. But will you guys please take a second to turn to the people around you and just greet them in the name of the Lord.
Happy Easter.
Now the heavenly and the ground, so beautiful. you're forgiven because of that sacrifice that Jesus gave on the cross. The one we celebrate today, the sacrifice, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were
amazing love, I know it's true. Our God is alive. We celebrate that with millions of Christians around the world today. And we want people to know that, not just today, but every day. When we leave here, let it show on our faces, our hearts, so that people will ask us, how do you know? And we can tell them that our God is alive. He's defeated death. Take these tithes and offerings and use them for your purposes to help spread that to people who don't know this. In your Lord's name we pray, amen.
Our Father, we are so thankful that the Son of God came to live and to die so we could live forever in heaven. And we pray today as we worship that your Holy Spirit will very clearly, lovingly, and powerfully speak to our hearts. Father, humble those of us who are saved, that we might have a desire to obey you more than we are doing right now. For those in this room who are lost and who have never committed their lives to Christ, who are not living under his lordship, we pray that today you would draw them to the cross and to the Savior, and that they would be humbled and submit their will to his, finding peace and forgiveness. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to open your Bible with me to the New Testament Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. As Brian was praying a moment ago, he mentioned that Christians around the world are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus today, and we're doing more than just celebrating his resurrection. We're celebrating victory. That in his crucifixion and resurrection, we won the spiritual battle. He won it for us, really. He won the spiritual battle with sin and with death and with hell and with Satan. And the truth is that many of the great things we enjoy in life were purchased with a heavy price. It's true in our spiritual lives. It's true as a nation and our freedom. You know, we have all across this country monuments and parks celebrating key events in our past. New York at the National Park, Saratoga, it commemorates two battles that in the fall of 1777 the Americans won against the British in the War of Independence. And many historians consider those two battles to be among the key turning points in the War of Independence. There were four American heroes, military leaders, in those two battles. Colonel Daniel Morgan, General Philip Schuyler, General Horatio Gates, and General Benedict Arnold. About a century after those battles, in what is now that national park, a monument standing 155 feet tall was erected. And on each side, facing north, south, east, and west, there's a niche, an opening for a life-size statue of each of those generals. And if you go to that park today and stand in front of that monument, you'll see the life-size statue of Daniel Morgan and Philip Schuyler and Horatio Gates. But in the niche where the statue of Benedict Arnold is supposed to be located, there's nothing. It's empty. Because later in the war, he would become a traitor, fight for the British, become a general in the British army fighting against Americans. And etched in stone beneath that empty opening is his name, Benedict Arnold. There's another name that is etched in stone in history. The name Judas, who betrayed our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want us to take some time and do something that maybe you've never done. I want us to think about all the things that Judas missed, the things he lost out on because of the choice he made to betray Jesus. The truth is, there is more of Judas in each of us than we want to admit. We're going to look at his story in Matthew 26 and 27 today. And some of you are already asking the question, how are we like Judas? There are many of us in this room, and many watching by television, who say we love the Lord Jesus and he is our Savior and we're Christians. And yet, we don't submit to his lordship. We don't always do his will, his bidding. He says, I want you to do this, and we say no. He says, I expect such and such of you, and we do just the opposite. There are times in public when we're ashamed of Him. We don't stand up and confess Him as our Savior and our Lord. We meekly walk away. We're more like Judas than sometimes we want to admit. The truth is, each and every one of us in this room who say we're Christians and we love Jesus have had moments in our lives when we acted more like Judas than we want to acknowledge. There are some of you listening to me right now, and for a long time you've been telling yourself, one day, someday in the future, I'm going to get right with God. Someday I'm going to give my heart to Jesus. Someday I'm going to be saved and I'm going to follow Christ. And you keep making excuses and you keep putting it off and you keep saying no just the way Judas did. And I think it would be beneficial for all of us to take a few moments and reflect on Judas' decision and what he lost because of it, what he missed out on. So we can be reminded that when we stiff arm Christ, when we betray Him, when we let Him down, when we're ashamed of Him, when we say no to Him, we also miss out on some things. That we don't get a free ride. That every time we disobey God, there's a price. Every time we resist Him, we miss something. And so let's be reminded of that. You have your Bible open with me to the book of Matthew chapter 26. Let's just read a few verses together, beginning at verse 3. The Bible says that the chief priest and the elders of the people were gathered together in the court of the high priest named Caiaphas. And they plotted together to seize Jesus by stealth and kill Him. Drop down to verse 14. And then one of the 12, one of the disciples, the apostles, named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest. And he said, "What are you willing to give me to betray Him to you?" And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver to Him. From then on, he, Judas, began looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus. Verse 20. They're in the upper room observing the Jewish Passover. Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper. And the Bible says, when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples. And as they were eating, He said, "Truly I say to you that one of you will betray Me." Being deeply grieved, they each one began to say to Him, "Surely not I, Lord." In verse 23, He answered, "He who dipped his hand with Me in the bowl is the one who will betray Me." One of the other Gospels mentions that Jesus dipped a piece of bread, handed it to Judas, and quietly said to John, who was leaning against Him, "He's the one." That's the reason John records that incident. Verse 24, Jesus says, "The Son of Man is to go just as it is written of Him." I'm going to go to the cross the way the Old Testament said I would. "But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." Now look at verse 47. While He was still speaking, Jesus and the disciples, the 11 of them, are in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's been praying. The disciples praying for Him, sleeping. He woke them up and now He's talking to them. And while He's talking to them, this incident takes place. While He was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs who came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he who was betraying Him gave them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize Him." Immediately, Judas went to Jesus and said, "Hail, Rabbi," and kissed Him. Now we don't know for certain why Judas did what he did. There's a lot of speculation. Scholars and preachers try to explain it. The New Testament infers certain things, but we can't say with absolute clarity this is exactly why he did what he did. Maybe it was out of greed. The New Testament tells us that Judas was the treasurer for the disciples. He kept the money, and John even mentions that he stole from Jesus' treasury for his personal gain. We know that when he talked to the Jewish leaders, one of the other Gospels mentions that he negotiated the price with them. And so maybe greed was part of this. He's called a thief in the Gospel of John, so maybe greed was part of the reason. Perhaps it was temptation and the work of Satan in his life. On two occasions, the Gospels mention that when he was betraying Jesus, Satan entered him. Satan was in his heart. Satan was in his mind, and Satan influenced him. Sin was working in his life. Satan was working in his life. Do you understand that every time you and I disobey God, Satan's at work? Every time we disobey God, sin is at work. Maybe that was why he gave in to temptation and to the devil. Perhaps part of the reason was a strong, overwhelming sense of nationalistic patriotism. It seems that he held the view common among the Jewish people that Messiah was to deliver them from Roman oppression and set them free as a nation. And Judas perhaps believed Jesus was the Messiah, but he wasn't acting quickly enough, and he wanted to force his hand. And if he created a scenario where Jesus was arrested, it would force the action, force Jesus to do something. And Jesus would act and give them political freedom, national independence. Maybe it was a combination of all those reasons. Maybe it was a combination of those reasons and other reasons. We don't know. What we do know is he did it. And because he did it, he lost a lot. He missed out on a lot. And so do we. When we betray our Lord, when we don't obey Jesus, we miss out on a lot. Judas, for instance, missed the joy of Jesus' resurrection. He wasn't there when Jesus suddenly appeared in the room with the other disciples and they could reach out and touch his body and hear his voice. He wasn't there when they saw the glorified, resurrected Lord. He missed all of that because he had taken the easy way out. He had committed suicide. He wasn't there. He missed it. Today we celebrate the fact that Jesus did not stay dead, that he was raised from the dead. And that resurrection of Christ literally transformed those disciples and turned the world upside down. The Bible tells us in the future there's going to be a resurrection. And all of us will be there. But the resurrection will not be the same for every person. The Bible says that some are going to be raised in righteousness to life. But others will be raised in their sin to shame and everlasting contempt and everlasting separation from God and everlasting suffering in hell. The resurrection in the future is not going to be the same for everybody. You'll be there, but what would it be like for you? Will you know the joy of resurrection to life? Or will yours, because of the way you've treated Jesus and the choices you've made about Jesus, will yours be a resurrection to shame and to guilt and to separation and to lostness and to hell? Which will it be for you? Judas missed the joy of the resurrection. And some of you are going to miss the joyous resurrection of the righteous because of the choices you're making about Jesus Christ in your life. Judas also missed heaven. Look at verse 24. Jesus said, "Woe to that man by whom the Son of Man," referring to himself, "is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." Jesus is saying that what awaited Judas after he died was so terrible, it would have been better if Judas had never been born. That his destiny was so horrendous, it would have been better if he had never existed. He missed heaven. In John's gospel, Jesus says that Judas perished. And that's not referring simply to physical death, it's referring to spiritual death. That he perished without everlasting life. He died without heaven. He missed it. He's in hell today because of the choice he made about Jesus Christ. See, one of the problems is that practically everybody in America thinks they're going to heaven. Hardly anyone in this country thinks they're going to hell. practically everybody, if not everybody, in this room today thinks you're going to heaven. Nobody in this room in all likelihood thinks I'm going to hell. And yet it's this same Jesus who said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many travel that way. Narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Jesus literally said, more people will travel the highway to hell than the highway to heaven. More people are going to die lost in their sin and spend eternity in hell than are going to die forgiven and saved and spend eternity in heaven. Judas missed heaven and went to hell, and some of you are going to have the same experience because of what you are doing with Jesus Christ. The decisions you're making, the choices you're making, the attitude you have toward Jesus Christ. Judas also missed forgiveness. Look in chapter 27 of Matthew, verses 3 and following. Jesus had been arrested that evening, and during the darkness of night, he had been put on trial by the Jewish Sanhedrin, the high court of Judaism. But they did not have the authority to execute him. Only the Romans could approve that. And so they were going to take Jesus to Pilate, the Roman governor, to get his approval so Jesus would be executed. Well, that morning, in verse 2, when they bound him and led him away, look at verse 3. Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned. He saw that the Jewish court had condemned Jesus and that Jesus had not yet acted. Notice what it says. He felt what? Remorse. He felt remorse. Have you ever felt remorse because of something you've done? Have you ever felt bad about the way things turned out because of your choice? Have you ever felt remorse or been sad because you hurt yourself, you hurt someone else, you let people down, you messed up, you made a bad... You ever felt remorse in your life? Judas did. And after feeling remorse, the Bible says in verse 3 that he returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders. But sometimes you can't undo what's been done. In verse 4, he said, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. Have you ever come to the place that you knew what you had done was wrong? Where you were honest and said, yes, that was wrong, and it was a sin. It was a sin against God. It was a sin against others. It was a sin against myself. It was a sin. I know it's a sin, and there's no way to justify it was wrong. It's a sin. Judas knew he had sinned. And he wanted to return that silver. I've sinned. But verse 4 says, they said, what is that to us? What do we care? That's not our problem. That's your problem. You made that mess. We're happy. You're the one that's not. We don't care. Deal with it yourself. It's your own problem. And by the way, when you make a mess of your life, that is exactly how the world's going to treat you. They don't care that you are destroying yourself. I've got news for you. Hell does not care. Satan does not care that you're throwing away your life. They'll sit back and say, what is that to us? That's not our problem. We're happy about it. That's your problem. Deal with it yourself. Verse 5. He threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary and departed. The temple, the court of Israel, where Jewish men could gather to worship. And right beside it, nothing really dividing it but a few stands, the court of priests, where they led worship. And to their back, the temple building in the front door. And Judah stood on the edge of that court of Israel, the court of Jewish men, and with all of his strength, he took that money from his pocket and he threw it through the air, hitting the front door of the temple. But it didn't change anything. It didn't undo what had been done. Didn't fix anything. And then he went out and hung himself, feeling remorse and shame and guilt. There are people in this room right now who feel so guilty about the way you have lived, so guilty about the choices you've made. But rather than turning to Christ and finding healing, you keep pushing that guilt down and down and down, and that guilt continues to push you down a path, down a highway of even greater destruction. That's what Judas did. I said Judas missed forgiveness. You see, forgiveness requires a few things. Forgiveness requires acknowledging that we have sinned, and Judas did that. He admitted he had sinned. Forgiveness requires remorse for our sin, and Judas felt remorse. But that's not enough. Some of you know you've done wrong and you feel remorse. That's not enough. In America, we've cheapened everything to the point of thinking that if we just feel bad about it, then that makes it okay. No, it doesn't. Just feeling bad about it doesn't make it all right. Forgiveness requires more than admitting it's a sin and feeling remorse. Forgiveness also requires repentance. And there's no evidence Judas repented. Forgiveness requires accepting forgiveness, coming face to face with Jesus Christ and saying, Lord, I have sinned. I did wrong. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I repent of that sin. I turn from that sin. I turn to you. I'm looking to you. I'm facing you. Forgive me. And I receive your forgiveness and the freedom that comes with it. But Judas, even though he felt remorse, could not bring himself to the place of repentance and facing Jesus. So he took the easy way out and killed himself. There's no forgiveness without facing Jesus whom you've sinned against. There's no forgiveness without being in His presence, His holy presence, His loving presence, His forgiving presence, and saying to Him, I was wrong. I sinned. I repent. Forgive me, restore me, heal me, change me. Remorse is not repentance and is not forgiveness. It's humbly coming face to face with the crucified and resurrected Jesus Christ and saying, Lord, forgive me, heal me, change me. And some of you are going to spend the rest of your days living with regret, feeling remorse, because you refuse to come face to face with Jesus Christ and deal with your sin. And because of that, you're going to miss forgiveness, and you're going to miss the healing that comes with forgiveness. You're going to miss heaven. Why would you continue down that path? Why would you be afraid to stand in the presence of the very one who loves you so much that he died so you could be forgiven? Why would you be afraid of the one who says, come to me, all you who labor are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. And Judas not only missed out on forgiveness, but he missed the peace that comes when God forgives and gives us a new start and a new life. In John chapter 20, verse 19, the Bible says, when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, Sunday evening, the evening after Jesus had been resurrected from the dead, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear. You see, the other 11 disciples, they'd all scattered when Jesus was arrested. They were hiding behind a locked door for fear 3 days after the crucifixion. Peter, one of the 11, had, when publicly confronted with being a disciple, cussed and said, I don't know the man. I don't have any association with him. Leave me alone. He had gone out and wept bitterly because of his betrayal. The other 11 were not standing up publicly, boldly confessing their faith. They had let Jesus down as well. They had betrayed Jesus too. And now on the Sunday evening of his resurrection, they're hiding in that locked room, afraid. But that verse continues, but Jesus came. Something about that name. Jesus came. And he stood in their midst. And said to them, peace be with you. You see, you can't have peace and healing and restoration if you won't allow yourself to be in the same room with Jesus Christ. If you're not willing to stand before His face and hear His voice and feel His touch, you can't know the uplifting nature of His restoration. You can't know the healing salve of His peace. If you always run from Him, if you always resist Him, if you always hide from Him, if you always say no to Him, you miss His peace. Relationships when two friends fall out are healed when they get together. You want your relationship with God healed? Get together with God. Stop running from Him. Judas went out and killed himself. And he missed heaven and he missed forgiveness and he missed peace. God gave those disciples a new life, a fresh start, and they had peace. But not Judas. What about you? Are you willing to come face to face with Jesus Christ so you can have the peace of heaven in your heart? Or do you want to continue living with your own guilt? With your own shame? In your own sin, in your own failure. See, Jesus is willing to wash all that away. He loves you, but you have to let Him wash it away. One last thing Judas missed. He missed a future filled with exciting possibilities on earth. He missed a life on earth filled with incredible possibilities and exciting ministry. You see, the first chapter of the book of Acts tells us that following Jesus' resurrection and ascension to heaven, the disciples gathered in a room in Jerusalem, perhaps the same one where Jesus had observed the Passover and instituted the Lord's Supper and said to his disciples, "One of you is going to betray me." They gathered in that room in Jerusalem to pray, knowing they needed to replace Judas, because now there were not 12 apostles, there were only 11. Two men were selected as possibilities. And then the book of Acts in chapter 1, verses 24 and 25 tells us they prayed. This is the prayer. Listen carefully. "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all men, show which one of these two you have chosen to occupy this ministry and apostleship." Now notice, listen. "From which Judas turned aside." Which of these two have you chosen for this ministry, this apostleship, from which Judas, who was one of us, turned aside? You see, in the weeks and months and years to come, Peter and the other disciples, who had been hiding in fear after the crucifixion, would literally see thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Jews and Gentiles become believers in Jesus. But Judas didn't see any of that. Peter and these other disciples, who were healed and forgiven and restored and faced Jesus, would see some of the same Jewish leaders who had plotted to have Jesus killed become believers. They would see in Jerusalem, the place he had died, a large church of many thousands gather weekly to worship Jesus. Judas didn't. They would see churches spring up in country after country in Europe, Africa, Asia, but Judas didn't see any of it. He turned aside from the future possibilities that lay ahead of him. And my friends, God has a plan for your life. God has things He wants to do in your life that are exciting and you know nothing about them. God wants to use you to make a difference in this world, to make a contribution that brings Him honor and blesses others. You can be a man of God. You can be a woman of God that God uses in His kingdom to do kingdom work in a beautiful way, but not if you don't face Jesus. If you run from Him, you miss all those possibilities. Here's the point. Everything Judas missed is available to you right now. Everything he missed is available to you today. Judas made a choice. He wasn't a robot. In Luke 6:16, the Bible says that he became a traitor. John 12, verse 4, talks about the fact that Judas was intending to betray. He had been thinking about it, planning. There was a thought process involved. He made a choice. In John 13, verse 18, Jesus, referring to Judas, said that he had lifted up his heel against me. It's an old reference. It's the picture of a horse. You ever been kicked by a horse? It hurts. I can tell you from personal experience, it hurts. It's the image of a horse raising his hoof and violently kicking you. Jesus said, that's what Peter, that's what Judas did to me. And some of you have wasted too many years of your life fighting Jesus, kicking at Jesus, punching at Jesus, pushing at Jesus. Not now. Not now. Leave me alone. No, I'll not do it. I don't want to. I'm not ready. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. I like my guilt. I like my shame. I like my mess. I like the... Leave me alone. I'm not willing to deal with it. Not willing to think about it. Not willing to face it. How's that working out for you? What difference does it make? The difference is what we gain versus what we lose. And I don't know about you, but I like gaining stuff. Especially when it's good stuff. A whole lot more than I like losing good stuff. What about you? Father, you've been speaking to hearts and minds, to individuals that you love this morning. And I pray that in these next few moments, there would be an overwhelming sense of holiness in this room. That we would literally sense the presence and the power of the Holy One. And I pray, Father, that pride that is keeping some from giving their lives to you would be removed from their hearts right now. I pray that shame, which causes some to think they're unlovable and not worthy of it, that they would understand that you love them so much. And that they would humbly receive your forgiveness and cleansing and healing. God, I pray that those in this place who are hurting would allow you to be their peace and their joy. I pray those in this room who are lost and going to hell would right now be so drawn to the cross, so drawn to Jesus Christ, so drawn to heaven, that they would literally run down this aisle and say to one of us pastors, I'm coming to Jesus. I want Jesus in my life. I pray that every person who's hiding would open the door to their heart and soul and invite you in. I pray in this holy moment, oh God, that you change hundreds of lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? Make your way to the front where me and Jamie and others will be and say, Pastor, today I want to come to Christ and be saved. To come and kneel at this altar and pour out your heart to Christ and receive forgiveness. To join this church. Let's sing. We wait for you. God's waiting for you. You come. You come. You come right now. Start coming quickly. Come on. Right now.
Is deeper still. Ooh.
Give the Lord a hand today. It's His day. We're really glad you're here this morning. And hey, next week, bring somebody with you. Invite a friend to come. You know, somebody just needs to know that God loves them, that God can heal them. And you know, if you're sick, you got to treat your sickness to get well. And the truth is, well, some people in our country don't like to talk about sin and our sin problem. There's no getting well without facing it. The irony and the beauty is when you face it, you get healed. And then it doesn't have the same hold on you. So we got all kinds of people out there who need that help that only God's love can give. So we invite them to come with you. Hey, last Saturday this month is Servolution, opportunities to show Jesus' love to people all around this city and community. There's an insert in your bulletin. It's got all the different opportunities. Look at that. Sign up. Drop it off at the appropriate place back to the Servolution banner. Those financial help classes this Wednesday. Where are you at, Michael? Over here, wave, Michael. Michael's going to be talking about mistakes that people make. And there's some doozies, things you might not think about. This is just going to be some practical stuff about mistakes that people make, and they don't know they're making a mistake sometimes, that get themselves in trouble financially or maybe can negatively impact their loved ones after they're dead. You don't have to sign up. Just be here. Very practical this Wednesday night. Okay? And then on Saturday morning, Jennifer... I'm not certain which service Jennifer's in, Jennifer Panther, but she's doing 3 breakout sessions that morning. Where are you at? Is she back in the back? Oh, there you are, Jennifer, waving back here. She teaches this stuff here at the Family Trust Credit Union around the country. Really good, knows her stuff. Some practical workshops on putting budgets together, which a lot of people struggle with. Some things you can do to improve your credit score. Because we want you to know God, but we also want to give you practical helps in life. And these are free. Sign up for the Saturday because we have some materials we need to print for you. We've already collected the welcome card, so call the office. Go online to church website, and you can sign up there as well. Saturday morning, free, but register for those so we make sure we've got enough copies of everything for everybody. And happy Easter. Thank you, everybody.